This is St. Louis Public Radio. The Underground Railroad helped as many as 100,000 slaves to freedom across the United States before the Civil War. A few routes crossed from Missouri into the present-day Metro East. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt reports there are confirmed Underground Railroad stops in our area and places believed to be stops, believed because no physical marker of their existence remains.
I'm standing next to a small creek, a little bit north of Alton in Godfrey, Illinois. Cool water rushes over a small ledge on its way to the Mississippi River. Eric Robinson, an assistant history professor at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy, explains where we are.
The sound you hear right now are the falls of Rocky Fork.
The tributary seems like any other in the Metro East. Tall, scraggly trees shoot up along its banks, and there's a barbed wire fence with a few no trespassing signs hanging on it nearby. Robinson says this ordinary scene has deep historical significance and a connection to the Underground Railroad.
We believe that the escaped slaves coming from St. Charles County ended up coming here to the Rocky Fork branch of the Pisaw Creek.
Escaped slaves also traveled through the region about 30 miles south, stopping at the Quinn Chapel AME Church in Brooklyn. George McShann is the chapel's secretary and says the church concealed escapees from patrols along the Mississippi.
Now the slaves came and they hid in the church and under the church until it was safe for them to move on further.
McShann says the church was one of the first stops made by those escaping slavery in Missouri on their way to freedom in Illinois and beyond. Both Quinn Chapel in Brooklyn and the Rocky Fork area in Godfrey are Underground Railroad stops that are verified and approved by the National Park Service. But they're not the only ones.
From St. Louis through Alton to Chicago, the route followed roughly the valley of the Illinois River.
Robinson leads a tour of sites in Alton, and most of them are not part of any national registry. Just like Rocky Fork today, they have no physical markings that even suggest a connection to the Underground Railroad. Robinson says there's a simple explanation for that. The sites were hidden because helping escape slaves was a felony before the Civil War.
I mean, if you were lucky, you went to prison. If you were not lucky, you see that there? You'd be hanging from that tree over this creek, easily.
And there's another reason we can't identify and confirm more sites, says Brian Jack.
Power plays a big part in what history the society chooses to remember. And African-American history oftentimes gets buried under other kinds of history.
Jack is an associate professor at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, who studies African-American and local St. Louis history.
After the Civil War, there was this desire to reunify the country, to try to push slavery into the background.
Robinson says physical landmarks of slavery were destroyed or repurposed by the beginning of the 20th century.
We thought progress was good, new was good. Newer is even better.
Without physical structures or markers, the history associated with them fades away. Cheryl Jennifer LaRoche authored Free Black Communities and the Underground Railroad. She says many researchers avoided the Underground Railroad because it was rooted in lore and myth.
Many noted historians wouldn't touch that field, wouldn't really go there because if you're a serious historian, this is not something that you're going to be studying.
LaRoche says that's now starting to change. She adds many parts of Black history have been shut out of written historical records because education and literacy were suppressed or outright forbidden for Black Americans. LaRoche says historians devalued the way that Black communities traditionally shared their past through storytelling.
If these very same things that I received orally had been written, people wouldn't have so much trouble with the believability of it.
At Quinn Chapel, McShann remembers the stories older parishioners told of the church's role fighting slavery.
They didn't write a whole lot down, but they got up and talked about it. The only thing that we have that to hold on to is the history of the church.
He says he wanted the chapel on the National Park Service registry so that its history will remain, even if the church doesn't. Reporting from Madison County, I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.